This week, the AD Spring Tour heads to the Big 12. Rip and I are in the heart of the Midwest in the vibrant city of Ames, Iowa with AD Jamie Pollard.
This episode of One Star Recruits, as always, is brought to you by 500level.com. Cyclone Nation, we have all the Iowa State legends, the best t-shirts on the internet on 500level.com, Tyrese Halliburton carrying the Pacers on his back, George Niang still in the playoffs with the Cavs, Brock the Cock, Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, some awesome t-shirts on 500level.com. Get 20% off everything at checkout with the discount code PODCAST. Let's go!
This is Jamie Pollard, Director of Athletics at Iowa State University. I'm on with the One Star Recruits.
Yo, aloha, Ames, Rip. The city motto of Ames is smart choice. It's kind of a smart choice hiring Jamie Pollard, who runs the athletics division, another competitive and innovative athletic director. It seems to be some common traits that we see in these athletic directors, especially in successful schools.
Yeah, I think one of the longest tenured athletic directors in the entire country. He's been at the helm for almost 20 years now in Ames, and he's kind of mastered it, DK. He's, like you said, he's an innovator. We got Cytown coming up that's probably going to set a trend across the country, and he's doing a lot of other things in Ames that a lot of ADs aren't doing. He's doing more with less because they have a pretty low budget compared to a lot of these Power 5 schools, yet they're always at the top.
Yeah. A lot of passion. Once again, it's the common denominator that we keep seeing. Also, these guys, like head coaches, also are wanted at other places. I think Jamie's name came up for the Nebraska AD job earlier this year. These guys too make the decisions to stay and really work through a program. It's turning more into franchise mode every single year. And when I say franchise mode, like the video game franchise mode, like the pros, and you just need another level of execution at the end of the day with all the things. So great times. A place for friends too in Ames. It's a nice, friendly city, Rip. Actually, you know, fun fact alert, a friend named Ames after another friend. Did you have any idea, Rip? Any idea? If we ever make it big enough, I want to name a city after you. It'll probably be inexpensive. It'll probably be in Eastern Arizona somewhere. But the town of Rip, are you into that?
Probably be a ghost town, man. We're one stars, but I'm down. I have like a little taco stand there and possibly a gas station. It's kind of my kind of place. Maybe a casino and a bar.
You would love a little casino. Get your Bubba Gumps in there. Yeah, a guy named John Blair, a railroad president, named the town of Ames after his friend, Oakes Ames, who's just a railroad promoter. In fact, he was a congressman from Massachusetts. Never even lived in Ames, this guy. Nevertheless, friends, man, friendly place. You know what I kind of started thinking about a little bit with this interview? We talked about being healthy, essentially, which made me think immediately unhealthy. Then we started talking pastries, which my mind started going. I'm not a big state fair guy. I think it's because I'm out west. It's not such a big thing. I've always wanted to walk the Midway at the Iowa State Fair, at the Minnesota State Fair. Texas, I think, does it really good. You know what I say when I say the Midway? Rip, that's lingo, in case you don't know.
That's like Main Street at the State Fair, right? The Midway, all the games, all the food stands. That's pretty much how it is.
The Main Strip, bro. Walk those Midways. Said it like it is. So I did it. In Orange County, California, that's a kind of good fair. I don't know your take on that. But I want to put that on my list. I've always loved saltwater taffy and like a good turkey leg. Those are basics. When you get up to Iowa, bro, the whole game changes, especially in food. Any interest in the 2024 Iowa State Fair People's Choice Best New Food Items?
Oh, I'm always down. I don't have any guesses for you. I mean, I could guess the old school classics, but yeah, just read off like
No guesses. I just asked if you're interested. I just want to give you a couple. There's a finalist here. You just tell me if you'd be into this or not. This is a Best New Food finalist, the Iowa Twinkie. What You Smoking Barbecue and Brew is the name of the spot. It's actually a Texas staple, and they do a smoked bacon-wrapped jalapeno stuffed with pulled pork, sweet corn, cream cheese, and ranch seasoning, and then glaze it with a barbecue and brew sweetened sticky sauce. So it's basically like a jalapeno pucker stuffed with pulled pork. You in on that one?
That's super innovative, just like our guy Jamie Pollard. My kid got a Twinkie in his baseball snack the other day, and I've heard of fried Twinkies, but man, that's like next level right there.
Kids still lose their mind over Twinkies. He liked that. Was he very impressed with that one?
He actually bypassed it because he'd never seen a Twinkie before. So I'm gonna eat it probably after this episode.
Stomach issues immediately for you. There's some good stuff on the list, though. Some I've never even heard of. I mean, they have an Amish donut. Not even sure what that is 100%. Peanut butter cream donuts. I mean, some of the basics, a lot of deep fried stuff on a stick going down at fairs. Put it on the list. I'm not sure when the fair happens. I think it's in August in Iowa. It's there. What do you have to get when you go to any state fair, Rip? What is you is a must get food item for you that if you don't get, it's an unsuccessful trip.
For me, it's funnel cake or Indian fry bread. If you're in the Southwest, it's kind of the same type of pastry with deep fried bread with sugar all over it. Basically, the thing I don't get is that giant turkey leg. I don't know. I can't walk around with just an exposed turkey leg out there and just biting off of it. That just always never hit with sat well with me.
Germs don't do well with you. Turkey legs are. You're right. It's getting a lot of air. You're getting a lot of breathed on. You could be getting So something coming out of somebody's mouth on one of the rides. You don't even know about it. It's fully exposed. You can't kind of corner it a little bit. Big Renaissance fair thing, really. I said turkey leg. It's more of a gimmick. I don't even think I ever enjoy it. There's not even a dipping sauce. It's very dry. You need to dip it at least. Maybe a honey mustard. No, I don't know. State fair. Put it on the list. It's a short-term gain for long-term pain, maybe, with fair food. Keeping head coaches around. Very difficult this day and age. Sounds like the coaching staff's in place for the long term on the basketball side with Iowa State. We've had George Niang on the podcast, friend of the pod. One of the first guests who really saw it early that Iowa State's going to contend on the basketball court moving forward. George knew it. Good luck in the playoffs, by the way. Got a couple guys in the NBA in the playoffs this year. We'll talk about on the back half of this podcast. And then you have Jamie from the top here, another leader who understands. I said it, the passion, the enthusiasm of the great fans doesn't kind of hide from these challenges. Scheduling has came up with this program recently. Tell me if I'm wrong, Rip. I think that they were ranked number 2 in the NCAA tournament. Is that right?
Yeah, they were a 2 seed.
Fans were looking for that top spot always, as they should. Especially, I think they beat Houston twice, which was the situation. Now it's coming back to me. Everybody was being super critical of TJ. Said that he was a soft scheduler. So these are things that we're keeping our eyes on and moving forward a little bit. At the end of the day, Jamie's message, the one-star message to Cyclones fan is enjoy the moment. You're watching a young team that is a young team, and they're already great coaches really need a couple years to get this program going. See Hurley at Connecticut. It takes a little bit of time. Enjoy Halliburton and George Niang and the NBA playoffs representing. I guess finally just beat Iowa in football. The game September 7th in Iowa City. I think that's the most important thing out of all of it. Am I wrong, Rip?
The Cy-Hawk rivalry is always the biggest game of the year, and you're introducing more teams to the Big 12 this year, so it's only going to get tougher. We got Utah, Colorado, Arizona State. As Jamie said, there's road tripping to Utah this year, another venue for the Cyclones fans to pack Utah. And that's the thing that resonates with me about Ames and the Iowa State fans, DK. The Cyclone Nation travels well. We got the Dublin game in 2025. Scheduling, I don't think you can call it an issue anymore beyond this year. Maui Invitational next year. Cyclones fans are going to pack the Lahaina Civic Center. Enjoy this interview. All the tidbits going on in Cyclone Nation. Jamie Pollard, Iowa State AD. Here we go. Now joining the One Star Recruits podcast, we have a husband, a father, a native of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, currently the athletic director at Iowa State University, and hot off the presses, a man you can find in Dublin, Ireland next August. Jamie Pollard is on with the One Star Recruits. Thanks for hopping on, Jamie.
Well, thanks for having me on. My pleasure.
We're excited to have you, and like I said, breaking news. It's a good day to be an Iowa State fan. Big news yesterday announced that the Cyclones will open the 2025 football season against Kansas State in Dublin. You've been an innovator as an AD in Ames. How did this thing all come together, and how many of those 48,000 seats do you expect to be filled by Iowa State fans?
Well, we're honored that John Anthony and Anthony Travel and Aer Lingus have put their belief in Iowa State's football program and our fan base to help them, make the game in 2025 be as successful as the games that they've had previous. I know a lot of teams have wanted to be part of that. And the fact that they reached out to us and had interest in Iowa State being one of the teams. You know, we're flattered and we're humbled, but now, you know, we're on the clock. What do I expect? I know what they've done in the past. I learned that, you know, the stadium holds roughly 50,000. Half of that crowd will be native Ireland, you know, residents that populate the game, which really helps it make it feel special. And then on average, they typically have had the other half be, you know, roughly half of the each school. So they're looking for Iowa State and K-State to each bring about 12,000 people, which is a big number, but we hope we can exceed that.
You're going to. Anthony Travel. Listeners, for those who don't know, that's a great travel company that does a lot of the inner travel, but then does a lot of group stuff. So you can get together with alumni or find different areas to go travel and see your team play. Wonderful group. Terrific. Are you a little bit excited? I think you have some English and some Irish lineage, too. Is that right, Jamie? You excited to go check out Ireland? Have you been before?
Well, my family is all from Scotland and England, but I've never been to Ireland, so I'm fired up about that. Although I have a wife that is heavily Irish and went to Notre Dame and actually, truth be told, went to school with John Anthony and they were friends. So maybe the reason we're going to this game is because my wife knows John Anthony.
The power of networking, listeners. Look at that. The power of networking. Amazing. All right. I'm 40. In my age group, I'm seeing constantly my friends go down with backs, knees, health-related issues. It's been almost 10 years since you had an emergency triple bypass surgery. Stress, diet, genetics, lots of things go into these. What have you learned since then, brother? We got to get better. What have you learned? What's the biggest change you've made to your lifestyle?
Well, I think my wife and my family would say I must have amnesia because anything I learned, I might have lost it already because, you know, I don't eat very healthy. I will say that. You know, I think just understanding what causes heart challenges, you know, it's really three things. It's obviously, you know, what you put in your body. And number two, it's the stress that you know, how you process stress. And a lot of times, you know, that isn't by choice. It's just, you know, that's in your DNA. And then three, you know, what you inherited, meaning your genes. And so I used to describe it this way as, you know, if you took any house and said, it was 50 years old, and you went and looked in the drain in the bathroom, there'd probably be a lot of gunk and hair and, you know, just, you know, pretty yucky stuff in that drain. And then if the house was built with really weak, narrow tubes, you know, narrow drain pipes or whatever you want to call it, bad plumbing, let's say, odds are there's going to be a problem in that house. And, you know, as a 50-year-old that had a father that had heart surgery and had a grandfather that had heart surgery, you know, I was given pretty bad pipes. And then, you know, I probably didn't help by what I put in those pipes. And I did it for 50 years. So it isn't surprising that I had blockage, even though I don't look like somebody that would have those challenges. I did. So part of it is just kind of being aware of what causes it. I think I've tried to deal with stress a little better. And just, you know, it is what it is. And what I've probably done, guys, I probably eat less. Doesn't mean I still don't eat some of the bad stuff. But I never, you know, I always ran, and I still do, but I ran a lot. So I've probably been lucky that I could eat quite a bit and not worry about it. But I should have been worried about it because I was putting a lot of junk in me. So now I know which foods that I probably need to have moderation on.
What's number one on that list? Culver's Burgers? What's number one? What's the going up at the number
now,
one?
No, I know what causes me problems is baked goods. I mean, I like baked goods, but the, you know, baking. So things that are in baked goods tend to cause me to have a lot more heartburn and heart issues. And so that's one I got to stay away from.
Those croissants. Yes, I agree, man. I agree. Let's move on. Thank you. That's great information. People should get checked out too. I don't think enough of us go get checked out. You know,
absolutely. Most, I mean, people don't die of a sudden heart attack. And when you hear of somebody that just, you know, boom, it's over. They had a heart attack. They probably ignored all the warning signs. I was one of them. I didn't know this until I, you know, had the big one, but they can tell from your EKGs what you've had in the past. And the doctor said, you've had two previous heart attacks. And I said, I know exactly when I did. I chalked it up to indigestion and heartburn, and I can just sit here and it will go away. But I know I can tell you exactly where, when, what, the when I had my first two heart attacks, but I didn't know I had had them. And they were years prior to, you know, the one that tried to take me out.
Wow. Amazing. So thanks for sharing. It's a good lesson to all of us. You hear that, listeners? Go get checked out. Read the signs. Let's talk about your day-to-day. Hopefully not too stressful. I know you're competitive, guys, so it is that word for you. But Iowa State's athletics department just got ranked 17th in the country in the Learfield's Director's Cup standings. Congratulations. I think it's the school's highest ranking. This is a big deal, listeners. And you also did it with a lower budget than a lot of these schools ranked above you, Moneyball style. What's your secret to success?
Well, I think we understand who we are and embrace who we are and what we're not. You know, it's not by coincidence that our head football coach was a Division III athlete. Our head basketball coach was a Division III athlete. Our women's basketball coach was a Division III athlete. Our athletics director was a Division III athlete. I always say this, none of us were born on third base. We were born in the dugout and had to figure out how to get the coach to put us in the lineup. And then when we got in the lineup, we had to figure out how to get on base and then get our way to third. So there's a lot of value in that. And so we've been scrappers. And, you know, Coach Campbell says this a lot, that we embrace going up the rough side of the mountain. And when you're at a school like Iowa State and you're trying to punch above your weight, you're on the wrong side of the mountain many, many times. And you got to figure out how to get up that way. And those that embrace that for what it is and actually get motivated by doing something that others either haven't done or failed trying is something that excites us. I still remember when I hired Coach Campbell, one of the things I said to him at the last, you know, before he took the job, I said, do you want to go someplace when you win a championship, they say, put the trophy over there on the shelf with the other ones? Or do you want to go someplace when you win the championship, I go, oh crap, I got to build a trophy case for you.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's about at Iowa State.
You just answered my next question, too, because it's hard. It's very hard to keep good coaches in programs now and especially not be used as a so-called stepping stone. And I think you found it with guys like TJ and Matt for that exact reason. They're ready to find the greatness instead of inherit the greatness a little bit. It's a great take.
Well, and, you know, the other thing I think that a lot of times people miss on is you got to have great alignment. And that probably gets, you know, it's become probably a token statement that people say that, but is there really great alignment? And at Iowa State, there's great alignment. At our Board of Regents, you know, they don't meddle in what we do. So it's really the president, the AD, and then the coach. And I always say we can think of something tonight and implement it in the morning, and no one's probably going to get in our way doing it.
Facts. Otzelberger took the job 3 years ago. Low salary. Interesting situation. And kind of it was to keep up with his Big 12 peers, if I remember kind of how it was. Anyway, since then, two Sweet 16s, arguably the best coach in the Big 12, in our opinion, here on the One Stars. I think his contract was just redone. Is this something that needs to be looked at every year at this point in the basketball situation, or are we going to lock him in?
Well, we redid it a year ago to 2029 and built in some raises into the contract. So we feel really good about it. TJ and I are very close, good friends. TJ's a Cyclone. His wife's an All-American Hall of Fame basketball player at Iowa State. So, you know, I think we've tried to cook the books a little for him by making him have to, you know, he's married to somebody that I don't think would let him leave here.
Smart. You got a good one. I mean, you got a good one. Let's keep him there. You got great stuff going on in Cy-Town land. Cy-Town, this project from the outside looking in is kind of blowing my mind a little bit. You're definitely ahead of the curve here. It's something that might start a trend all over the place. A developer was chosen earlier. For listeners and people who may not know, Cyclone Nation wants to know a little bit more. When can we expect to see phase one wrap up and potentially some tenants going in? What's the latest news?
Well, DK, first of all, you've done your homework, so I applaud you. The latest news is we're in the last half of the infrastructure phase, which was getting all the parking lots done. They had to be raised about 6 feet up because of floodplain had to put in all the utilities underneath, and we're about two thirds the way through there. That'll be done all by August. The first tenant was selected, and that tenant will break ground this fall. It's a 75,000 square foot medical facility that most people would go, why is that an entertainment district? Well, they have 150 doctors and staff, and they're going to have 750 to 800 appointments a day. So that's going to be 900 to 1,000 people that'll come to the site between 8 and 5, which is one of the time periods that, you know, that's not when you're playing basketball. That's not when you're having a home football game. That's not when there's a concert. So you need to do things that draw people to the site 24/7 to help those restaurants and other shops and retail establishments survive. And so that's one. You mentioned the developer we hired, Goldenrod, out of Omaha. Zach Wiegert, who is a legendary football player at Nebraska, played in the NFL 13 years, and it was the Outland Trophy winner. It's his company, and they now have the development rights for the entire footprint. And I wouldn't be surprised if by next spring that they've got a shovel in the ground on several different buildings.
Let's go. You have cities looking at what you're doing. We just got out of the SEC over the last month. People are looking for creative ways to incorporate deals and partnerships that make sense for the community at the end of the day. Make sense for the student athletes, the people who live in these towns. And at the end of the day, shine a light on this amazing product of college athletics. Thank you for setting pace. I think it's so cool.
Well, thank you. We're very proud of where we are. We've got a lot of work still ahead of us, and it'll be great for this community, for our university, for the state of Iowa.
Jamie, we end every interview with the segment we call One Star to Five Star. Everybody knows we're the one stars. We're trying to get better with advice and tips from every guest we have on this podcast like yourself. So I just want to ask a few questions, run the gamut on a 1 to 5 star scale here to close it out.
All right.
These are some fun ones. You mentioned you were a runner, an All-American in the 5K back in your prime at UW-Oshkosh, and all four of your kids competed in cross country as well. What is a 5-star tip for all the 1 stars out there who want to incorporate running to help with either a healthy lifestyle or even just to shed a few pounds? What's a 5-star tip you got for us?
Well, first of all, I would say, as you know, if you're talking about kids, is let them play all sports, you know, and let them naturally figure out, you know, what they're good at, because you know, our kids all played all sports. You know, a couple of them got a little more focused on running because they got better. But, you know, one of the things that we just did as a family was we made sure that the goal was not to have the kid that was really good when they were little and then they hated the sport when they were older. Running is something you can do for your lifetime. And so we wanted our children to love the sport. And I'm proud to say that all of them still run, even though they're not competing anymore. So I would say, first of all, make sure you keep it in the right perspective, that it's a lifelong pursuit. As somebody that's actually trying to keep it as a lifelong pursuit, that's now 59 and gets all kinds of aches and pains, is you have to listen to your body. And, you know, I've learned to love running so much that I actually run less, because I know when I run too much or too many days in a row, as much as I love it when I do it, I usually end up getting hurt. And when I get hurt, then I have to sit out for extended periods of time, and then I'm not a happy camper. So figuring out, listening to your body, and sometimes less is more.
What time would we mark you for if we got you out on the Milwaukee Lakefront Marathon? What time are we looking at?
Oh, if I was to run a marathon right now? Well, first of all, I haven't run one since 1996. I ran the 100th Boston, and that's when I kind of ceremonial said I was done. I'm probably in a marathon, gosh, maybe an 8-minute miler guy. So 8-minute miler would be somewhere around 3:45.
Hey, not bad for your age bracket. Yeah. Come on, let's go. I'm battling with my kids. We have a run club at their school, 7:40 every morning, but they'd rather go to the cafeteria and eat the cinnamon roll for breakfast. So I love the perspective on getting kids interested.
Pastries.
Yeah, pastries. There you go. Pick the running over the pastries. Come on, kids. Moving on here. Audie Crooks had an incredible freshman year at Iowa State. She set all kinds of school records, led the NCAA in field goal percentage. And just a couple weeks ago, women's hoops lost a lot of star power in the WNBA draft. It was Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Cameron Brink. A bunch of big names are exiting the NCAA this year. It feels like one of those things you can see coming from a mile away. So let's say on a 1 to 5-star scale, what is the likelihood that Audie steps into that role as one of the faces of women's college hoops next season?
Well, from a talent standpoint, she's clearly good enough. She's proven that. But what's Audie's secret sauce is her personality. She is an unbelievably neat human being. And when you get to know her and you get to see her interact and you watch her on the court, she's so happy-go-lucky. And how she conducts herself for an 18-year-old in press conferences is absolutely phenomenal. And a lot of athletes, I don't care if you're male or female, could learn from how she has conducted herself in post-game interviews, you know, when there's been good moments and bad moments, you know, that she is really a likable, real person.
Wise beyond her years. Wait, we get those marketing machines fired up in Ames, because I see it coming now. Last one here. We talked about Dublin. That's obviously a couple seasons away. But in the more near term, the Big 12 has expanded, and that means some new destinations for Cyclones fans starting even in this fall, I think. So let's go. Utah, Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State. We know Iowa State fans love to travel and support the teams. What's the 5-star trip that you're most looking forward to taking to one of those new Big 12 cities?
Oh, Tempe, Tucson are on the map.
Well, I have to say, last year I did get the 5-star trip because it was my first time I ever got to go to BYU.
Okay.
And anybody that's never been to Provo for a football game, I haven't been there for a basketball game, but for a football game, it was absolutely phenomenal. You know, this year we go to Utah, which I haven't been there for a football game either, and I've heard that that's great. Actually really looking forward to that trip this year because I'm leaving from Utah to go to Maui because we're playing in basketball the next week in Maui. So that'll be a really fun trip. I spend a lot of time in Arizona. I'm actually going there on Monday. So I'll look forward to those trips because I've got a lot of friends and a lot of Iowa Staters that are winter down in the Phoenix and Tucson area. So yes, those will be really enjoyable trips to have added to the, you know, the Big 12 footprint.
It's a full circle too. It goes back to Anthony Travel, listeners. If you want to catch up with your team, the listeners know I'm out here in Maui too. I love the Maui Gym Invitational. We'll have to connect, Jamie. We'll get a round of golf going at Kapalua. But a great trip, listeners. If you haven't got your tickets yet, head on over. Anthony Travel, Maui Gym. Come on out. Stop by Tempe. Tempe, Arizona is a great place in Tucson. This is kind of a travel podcast now, Jamie. We're kind of switching over to Anthony Travel a little bit. So much to do.
Well, hey, John Anthony would really appreciate the shout out, but yeah. So I won't be in Tempe this weekend, but I will be, or next week, but I will be in the Scottsdale Sun City area. So looking forward to it.
Hey, there's never a bad time to go to Maui or Arizona, in our opinions. Everyone can go follow 2-time AD of the Year award winner Jamie Pollard. It's at IA State AD on Twitter. Anything you want to know about Iowa State athletics can be found on cyclones.com. We know there's never a dull moment when you're working on so many cool things, Jamie. You're doing a great job down in Ames, and we appreciate you being down to earth on here. Best of luck. Thanks again for coming on with the One Stars.
Well, you know, maybe you guys could do a podcast from Ireland. You know, that's
Let's go. Yeah.
A Guinness
some corned beef hash.
That would be really interesting, huh? We might really get colorful then.
Sign us up. Hey, we might get crazy and get a baker's dozen of some pastries from a local bakery. Who knows how it will go. Thank you so much, Jamie.
Thank you, guys.
Iowa State football. Our guy, Harry Dees from Joshua Tree, big UCF guy, circled on his calendar nice and early that trip to Ames. He'll be there. UCF will be there representing for sure at Jack Trice. Jack Trice, real name, no gimmick. That's what I think of when I hear Jack Trice, Rip.
OB Trice's grandpa?
OB Trice. Yeah, OB Trice, real name, no gimmick. Schedule looking good, though. Some fun opponents. George Strait, Chris Stapleton, little big town concert coming up in May. Listeners, get out there, get to Ames. Spend a little bit of that paper out there. Spring game was on 420. You got to appreciate a 420 spring game in football anytime. You know anything about Rocco Beck, starting quarterback, Rip? Anything at all?
No.
He's got a couple returning targets. That's a fair answer. There's one guy, Jaden Higgins. This is what I want to talk about. Circle him. 2025 draft. Jaden Higgins, wide receiver. That offense looking actually pretty good. Daniel Jackson. They got a nice core if this guy Rocco, which is a great quarterback name, can really shine through. Football's looking up. in Ames. Got a couple pros, Rip. A couple pros going to Baltimore. What a great landing spot for TJ Tampa. Holy cow. This guy could be one of the best cornerbacks in the draft. He plays Baltimore Ravens football, which is smart, aggressive, and he will hit you in the face when he needs to. Great pickup by the Ravens. He went round 4, I believe. A couple guys got picked up. Ben Nickel, congrats. Washington Commanders. Easton Dean, invited to the Tennessee Titans rookie mini camp. A football school. What do you think? Iowa State football school or basketball school when it comes to when I say it?
I'm going to go 60-40 in favor of basketball right now just because of the history of the players, the Marcus Fizers, the Fred Hoibergs, all those Ames Cyclones legends out there. But football's coming on strong, man. If they can keep making moves under Matt Campbell, it could swing the other way.
You are from the state of Arizona, the beautiful city of Phoenix. Phoenix Suns. We never bought in the whole season, to be honest. I never felt it in my soul. True sports fans know exactly what I mean when I say that. I never connected. The pheromones were never smelt. It never even got started at all. Rip, Suns, I'm going to give you 60 seconds. 4-1. The better team definitely won. I'm sad about some body language, some decisions that grown men are making. The fact that money can't buy everything. They say money can't buy happiness. Guess what? It also can't buy championships. Rip, 60 seconds. Phoenix Suns. Your Phoenix Suns. Go ahead.
It's going to take a lot because I think the new owner, Matt Ishbia, who's been in place for a year now, I think he's really in love with stars and he's trying to build a super team, you know, without any young stars or draft picks and homegrown guys, trying to just put aging stars together. It doesn't really work. I mean, it's worked once or twice in the past, but I'm really jealous of where Oklahoma City's at right now, where Minnesota's at right now. They have all these young draft picks that came up through the draft on their teams and they're now rising to those levels. So, I mean, Sam Presti's got like 10 first round draft picks in the next 5 years and OKC's already the number one seed. How are the Suns going to catch them? I just don't see it. I mean, to me, everybody's expendable. That's the bottom line. They need to do at least a 75% rebuild, maybe keep Booker, see what you can get for Durant, Beal, anybody who can be traded for Nurkic, anybody who can grab you a first round draft pick or a vet in return. It's a long road, DK. We're looking up at like 3 or 4 teams in the West, so I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Really disappointed in Kevin Durant's overall flow and body language. Yeah, you mentioned him getting cut. He's going to do his usual thing. This is now when he doesn't do the extension and he demands a trade and he guts a team's future for the next 10 years. I'm okay with that. Like I said, didn't connect. I want Beal out of here too. Gosh, those turnovers, even though the game was over pretty much, you could tell that game was over the whole fourth quarter, a couple terrible turnovers, just a couple things with Beal where he's not a winner. He was playing in Washington for so long with just the G League squad. He doesn't really know how to win, and Booker doesn't really know how to win. You got one guy, KD, and his body language is just not it. KD, I'll throw two things out to you, Rip. You tell me how these land on your heart and soul here. Run it back. Run it back with the Golden State Warriors. One last chance. Kuminga and Draymond Green, 2 first-round draft picks. Send KD back to Golden State. How's that land?
I mean, why not at this point? It's not going to work with the current crew. Maybe Kuminga's a young asset that, you know, was former first-round pick and has, you know, a little bit of upside. So why not get someone young in there, surround Booker with those kind of guys? Who knows? I mean, there's 1,000 scenarios you can go through. I think my guy Miguel in Hawthorne, you know, Miguel, DK, he said it best the other day. He just sent a text. He said all the 2010 stars are washed. I mean, I think you're seeing a big passing of the guard from those Steph Currys, the LeBrons, the KDs to the new young guys, the Ants, the Jokic, even the Jamal Murrays and the Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Like all these young guys, you got to have one of them to be at the top these days.
Nailed it. Miguel, you nailed it. You have to. That's why when you gut your future and you come in and you shoot for the stars, for these guys who are on the downswing of their careers, it becomes very difficult to rebuild. You put yourself in a hole, 5-6 year hole. Then it's harder to get things like new stadiums. It's harder to get season tickets to sell the way you want them to sell. It's harder for your marketing to work and get more assets, whether it's a G League team or whatever. It just makes the whole thing more difficult. The New York Knicks, KD, is the other team. I could see them parting with Randle. It'd have to be a Randle, another player, maybe like a McBride and a couple first-round picks. Kevin Durant in New York, does he go mess up that flow, or is that a connection that you could see happening?
I don't know why the Knicks would do that, especially how they're rolling right now with Brunson. Like, why mess that up? Brunson's a clear leader there. Why put another alpha there like KD when they don't really need it, especially if it comes at the expense of Randle? I mean, everyone's talking about how Booker wants to play with the Knicks. I mean, we'll see. I mean, but there's always been rumors about him wanting to go to Minnesota and play with Cat and all this and that. Who knows, man? I don't have much patience for all these rumors. I just want to see what happens in the end, and talk to me in October and see what the Suns roster looks like.
Not exciting watching that series outside of watching Ant and really Ant. Other than that, it was a pretty boring series. Denver is what they think they are. They put the Lakers to sleep. We're not going to spend too much time on that because we hate the Lakers. By far the most exciting series so far in the NBA playoffs for me. Every game has been, every possession, shit, is this Philly-New York Knicks series. They hate each other. This Villanova connection, the Knicks connections to Villanova and that city, the New York Knicks fans packing Philadelphia Arena the last game, and obviously being a better team. I don't know if you expect this to go seven, Rip. I hope it goes seven. For me, it's been the best series. I'm a little concerned that this series is the type of series that takes all the energy out of you. Any team that moves on next, I mean, Embiid's done. Embiid's moving on fumes. Still putting up crazy numbers, doing crazy things, but he's moving on fumes with one leg. There's no way he's going to get through this series and just be ready to rock and roll. I think Brunson's kind of like the Energizer Bunny. I think he's got it. I do have some concern about the other guys, the bigs on that squad. But most entertaining, five-star series so far. Must-watch TV for me, Knicks-Philly. You agree?
It's been good. I mean, the Knicks fans packing Philly the other day, but that surprised a few people there. But Embiid is, like you said, running on fumes. He needs a summer of rest, but he's playing in Paris for Team USA, so he's not going to get it. It's going to be hard for that guy to recover in time for next season. A lot of these guys that are committed to the Olympics, LeBron, I mean, 39 years old, these guys are in for it over the summer, and they're not going to get enough rest. I think the beginning of next season is going to be really interesting in the NBA.
Yeah, it's been a good first round. It's also been like we kind of know nothing's been too crazy so far. I don't see a lot of other game sevens. Maybe that Magic Cavs series seems like that's a home team wins it there. That's a coin flip. Your kid's favorite team, the Magic. You've been watching?
I haven't watched much of it. We're 2-2 right now. Game 5 tonight again. I'm pulling for them, though. They got a lot of team chemistry, a lot of young guys. All those lottery picks are paying off. I mean, that's probably it. But the sleeper series so far, that's the only one that's 2-2, I believe.
It's 2-2. I mean, second sleeper series for me is anything OKC. They're that OKC-Denver series, if we get it, hold my calls, block my schedule the whole day, 24 hours. I'm just going to prepare and watch that only. That's going to be really good, especially if we can end up maybe with a Boston Knicks dance. Holy cow, Rip. Could get good. Second Phoenix is out. These main teams come up that just, you're right, we got to blow this thing up, Ishbia. I'm sorry. Can't throw money at this one. Just got to start from the back, work its way up. I'm starting to have that feeling in my stomach about Booker. And it's not a great feeling. It's just the feeling that he's not a winner. Beal's not a winner. KD is a winner, but he needed a lot of help, you know. You got to bring in some winners. That's why I'm not even – Draymond's not going to come in and solve all their problems. But at least you got a winner in the room. A champion in the room. So stay tuned. Keep watching the playoffs, though, listeners. It's been great. You have any takes, hit us up, Twitter or Instagram on the NBA. It's probably our favorite sport when NFL's not going on. Probably our least favorite sport's the NHL. I tapped in last week, though. Been watching, Rip. You proudly came out of the NHL closet and you presented to the world a beautiful spread of the Maple Leafs, which got stuffed.
Should be my one-star moment of the week right there. I immediately proclaim that the Maple Leafs are going to win the Stanley Cup, and not even a week later, they're out of the playoffs, DK. That shows you how much I know about hockey. I don't think it's ever going to happen for the Maple Leafs again. Actually, I speak too soon. I'm looking at it. Game 4 is tonight. Boston leads 3-1. So let's see. I mean, maybe the Maple Leafs had a little bit of fight in them. The game's in Boston, but having to win 3 straight against the Bruins, good luck, Austin Matthews. RIP Maple Leafs this season.
Mm-hmm. And as I've watched a little bit more, I can sit down and watch a hoops game. No problem. No catch me full hoops game, full hockey game. Not it, not doing it. What I'm going to do is the last couple minutes of each period, maybe the last 5 minutes of the third, and then must-see TV in the playoffs if we go to OT. If it goes to OT, I see myself, my nervous system takes control. My phone gets put down. It's like watching a good MMA fight. It's really next level when you get into the OT of the NHL. So if you're not watching, don't worry about it. Tune in to the end of the third period or some OT. Hop on your own podcast. Act like you know what's going on a little bit. I can tell you it's been super fun, though. I can see the difference in the playoffs versus the regular season. I don't know if there's a way to ever tie those things together because that's the NHL fan base. It's you tune in for the playoffs, you're out completely during the regular season, or you're all in, or you're all out. There's not a lot of people who swim in between. Maybe I'm wrong on that, listeners. I don't know. Hit me back. Maybe I'm missing that. Maybe that's an NHL marketing problem. Maybe that's me living in Arizona and Hawaii. Not big hockey places. It makes sense. One star moments of the week, Rip. Every week we bring things, listeners, that we're embarrassed about, that we did, that were one star. We bring them to the world. We talk about them. Rip usually does something silly with his kids, something with feces or something that he puts into his body that he shouldn't. What do you got this week for us, brother?
I have flashbacks this week, DK, my one star moment of the week, of flashbacks of you trying to change that doorknob in Maui last year, and you bought like three wrong doorknobs, finally had to call someone out and get it done. My sprinkler system blew out. The computer and the battery and the automatic sprinkler system in the front yard blew out. It was 20 plus years old. So I talked to my gardener. He said, you got to get a new one. So I ordered a new one off Amazon, watched the video, ready to install it. I opened the box. The sprinkler system sits right outside of my house in Long Beach here. And I opened the box, and it turns out I bought an indoor sprinkler system for something that's supposed to be in like a garage or a covered dwelling. I bought an indoor sprinkler system for an outdoor spot. So what did I do, DK? One star. I put that thing in anyway. I found a way to mount it to the wall. The problem is it has no cover. So if it rains, it's going to get soaking wet inside the computer. And so I'm calling on all the one star listeners that give me advice on nutrition and just general handyman stuff. All the real men out there that know how to do this stuff. What do I do? I got to build a cover for this thing. It's sitting on my wall in my front yard, totally exposed. I was proud of myself. I got the wires connected for the right sprinkler stations. Anyone who knows anything about this, you know, it's not rocket science, but for me, a one star, I got it done. But now, like I said, that thing's just sitting out there. It's going to get rained on, probably break after the next rainstorm. So I need help, listeners. Tell me what I can do to cover that thing up.
This is the point where you call somebody up, I think. You're still committed to do it on your own. You have to make a little home for it, obviously. This is, you got to go get some plywood. Do it.
Plywood, an umbrella, something. I just need something to keep the water out of there. So, like I said, listeners, hit me up. Let me know what I can do. I'm going to try to fix the old cover, the cover of the old one, but it's a different size. So I'm just going to see what I can do. It's probably going to look one star either way. But, hey, as long as it keeps the water out, that's all I'm really looking for.
All that shit is so difficult. I had a good friend just try to replace a mailbox here recently. Yeah, mailbox, you know? And what are you going to do? Put it together, put it in the ground. Nope. Like, so hard to get it into the ground at the levels you want. Maybe I don't have the right tools. Nothing's ever easy in that space. But you do feel really damn good once you've done it, or at least made an attempt with it, you know? Maybe it's just a Rip. Seymour. Hit up Rip. Seymour's our resident expert at doing stuff, making stuff. Rip needs he needs your help, brother. This is it. We're just calling out the signal. We're sending the signal out, the coyote signal out from Long Beach to Utah. Help our guy out.
What do you got this week, man?
One star moment for me. Made a terrific chicken cutlet last night. Five star. You should bring back the chicken cutlet. I wanted to tell you that, Rip. I know that you're doing a big Dino Nuggets guy for your kids, big nugget guy. You should actually do the chicken cutlet where you tap it thin, hammer it out, bread it, egg it, bread it, fry it. Make your own. Less processed. It's there. They're always really good when I do them. I just don't make them that much. Actually, it's kind of a bitch to clean up as I think about it, but way better than anything frozen or processed. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. Delicious. So I made some chicken cutlets. I made a little butter caper, shallot, lemon sauce on top of them. Delicious. We're sitting at the table. We're eating. She loves it. I love it. Some happiness all going around. First hair was spotted. Number one hair. Pulled out of the breading. Clean pull out. Continue to eat, though. You know, things happen. Things happen in this world. Move on. 5 minutes later, second hair. Second hair is pulled out of my delicious chicken cutlet dinner. So embarrassing at this point in time. Trying to decipher where it came from. Was that head, my head, animal head, eyelash, the worst hair, nose? I guess butt hair is the worst. That's very difficult, though. And I got to maybe wear a hairnet now or something. It's just, I hate that. Who wants... It's, I guess it's okay if you're in the chef and you're in the back of the kitchen and it comes return. But if you've got to watch somebody face to face do that, it's very embarrassing.
I never have that problem with my beautiful bald head. You're never even going to see any of my hairs in there. But yeah, man, you got to, maybe you're losing your hair. You're shedding. You got to check on that. But yeah, that's, you can't be serving guests chicken with hair in it. Come on, DK.
When's it stressful to do the cutlets? Maybe I was having high stress level. You have to do a couple ins and outs and things and not burn it, whatever. One star moment, though. Double hair. Listeners, let me know a good place. Maybe I wear a head mat. What's it called? A head scarf.
A hat. H-A-T.
A damn hat. Recommendations of the week. Switching it. I'm recommend something that is great for us, something that we loved. This one I loved. I don't think my wife loved as much. We just used our last roll of it. But my recommendation of the week is Elite, absolute, pure Elite toilet paper. I'm not talking about the most expensive one at Ralph's or Safeway or Piggly Wiggly. I'm talking about Elite toilet paper, Japanese toilet paper. A couple of things that stand out about it. The brand that you want to look for is a brand called Rabbit. And yes, listeners, it's hard to find. And yes, it is about $10 a roll, which sounds crazy. It is the softest toilet paper. As I say this, I'm thinking I should just get a bidet. It's so silly that we're even using toilet paper. But if you got to get it, get the Elite stuff. Rabbit toilet paper, the best. It not only is soft and the best, it has a smell to it. Like not like a nice smell like you would expect. Why not? Toilet paper also helps with a nice smell. Also has some colors on it. Some of it makes me nervous. It smells of niceness, and there's colors on it, which make me think, are they colors coming off in my body, or is that smell getting rubbed into my my bum area? So a couple of concerns, but the softness, and to be honest, the luxuriousness of this toilet paper outweigh those concerns immediately. Rabbit toilet paper. Get with it.
$10 a roll, man. No one in Iowa is buying that. It's probably not even available in Iowa. Can you use it more than once? $10? Jeez, that's
it's
insane.
Not for every, it wouldn't be for every time, maybe special occasions. Special occasions, you bring it out. It's something. You know, like the nice, somebody comes over and you bring out the nice china for charcuterie. Even situational. Life's changing quickly, Rip. You can't do the same thing over and over again. That's definition of insanity.
I'm out on that rig. I just bought 45 rolls at Costco. I'm good for like the next 8 months, bro.
What brand you go with?
Kirkland. Come on. Kirkland. Only
quality.
One 45
respect.
Rolls.
Listeners know I love Costco. Respect that. Where do you store them? Your garage?
That's exactly. It's in the little attic with up in the plywood area, my garage. I get up on the ladder and grab a few rolls, and I'm good. I'm good for 8 months.
You are just garbage. Huge fire hazard. Huge fire hazard.
My wreck of the week, DK, this week, I sat down and watched a movie with the kids and the wife last Friday, and I found something on Netflix through just Netflix recommendations, and I'm going to throw it back to your childhood real quick. You remember Woody Woodpecker?
I do.
Give me your Woody Woodpecker impression. You got one?
Let's go.
Not even close. But yeah, so it's called Woody Woodpecker Goes to Camp. It was just released a few weeks ago on Netflix. I think it's a follow-up on a movie from a couple years ago, but it actually has a 67% on Rotten Tomatoes, has a 4.6 out of 10 on IMDb, but I'm going a little higher. I think it's at least a B-minus movie. Pretty entertaining. You know, Woody's hassling a couple kids at camp, becomes their friend. That whole story is chasing a couple kids out, but befriends kind of the nerdy crew and helps them win a couple things. I'm not going to give the whole movie away. Just check it out. It's an hour and a half. Woody Woodpecker Goes to Camp. If you got Netflix, that's my wreck of the week, DK.
Funny how parenting you have your age group is you really, you guys made a great run at no screens and cutting back on the intake and doing the whole thing. It is just such freedom to plop them down in front of Woody Woodpecker for 2.5 hours and just, you can go just eat your cheese pizza in peace in the side of the house for 2 minutes and look on your phone rip. It's just heavenly. I get it. I spent a little bit of time recently at a house where the kids have zero access. You have to actually not even take your phones inside of the house. The phones cannot come in, and the kids don't even know what the phone is. They're still playing chess. They're hanging out with a dog for longer than 10 minutes. My body doesn't know what to do after literally about 2 minutes of doing real human interaction. If my you're just pulling for the phone, looking for the screen, it's a lost art form. I see both sides of it, man. It's one of these days, I'm going to force myself to go no phone for about 2 weeks and see how my life changed, because I don't even know how to act anymore, to be honest with you.
Good luck with that.
All right. Woody the Woodpecker rip. Pretty mediocre recommendation. I thought you were going to say you were watching LADMO with them. Might not even be allowed to watch LADMO. That might have been not good for youth TV that we were watching when we were kids. If you've never heard of that, listeners, go ahead and Google LADMO and LADMO bags in the state of Arizona. Tell me if that's appropriate for children to be watching. Rip's reactions. Hit the music. Your annual once-in-a-decade vacation is coming up, Rip. You've been talking about this trip to France for approximately 9.5 years now. It's coming up. Summer Olympics going to be there. You'll be there before to set the pace for the arrival of LeBron James and Devin Booker to the beautiful city of Paris. Here's a couple of specific experiences from my last trip to France. And you tell me thumbs up, thumbs down. Because really what I'm hearing this whole time as we've talked about your France trip leading up to this is you going to the Eiffel Tower, taking a couple of silly pictures, and then just following your wife around. Is that accurate?
That's basically it. We have a couple other things planned. Disneyland, Paris, you know, probably throw a couple pictures up on Instagram and hop back on the flight home is pretty much in a nutshell.
Such an American. Let me give you a couple things so I seem a little bit cooler. Food for thought, Rip. If you get a bug up your ass, a little bit different. If you want to take control of the situation. We went last time we decided we wanted to go to a French hip hop show. And we did. And it was one guy with a machine doing kind of some French, and then it was not great, Rip. It was not great. Let me tell you what was great. We showed up. We didn't speak to anybody. You just kind of bob your head to have a couple of drinks. The two people we were sharing a table with thought that we were French. Hey, they just by our look, cool outfits, probably looked cool, listening to some music, drinking a spritz. So, live music, Rip. Just looking up a local hip hop show or a local jazz show in Paris late night. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
That's a big thumbs up because I never have that freedom now with the kids here, but it's just going to be my wife and I, so we can actually afford ourselves the opportunity to do some of that stuff. I'll be even more enticed if the guy with the headphones on and there's the one guy is wearing like a Rudy Gobert jersey. I'll be all in on that. But yeah, man, I'm all in on live music.
Live music. All right. Add that to your list. I'm going to need you to, after you go to the Eiffel Tower, the Tour de Eiffel, as they call it, to go around the corner to one of the eateries, a patissier, whatever they call it. I mean, you just sit down and get your normal food. You can get some fries, you can get your frites, and you go ahead and get a steak. I'm gonna need you to go ahead and order up some escargot. Okay? Can we count you in on that? Some escargot.
I'm out on that. I know it probably tastes good or salty and buttery, but I don't know. There's actually not many things I won't eat, so I probably would try it in a pinch, but it just doesn't sound good to me. I don't know. But maybe I'm crazy. If I see it with like barbecue sauce or like some
butter.
Buffalo
it's
wing sauce.
It's butter, garlic butter dipped in. Rip, it's even if you order it and don't eat it, you can try it for the experience. Okay, listeners are counting on you. I'm counting on you. Do I not mean, leave let, You know, I'm thinking that I did not try enough things, bro.
Let's be honest. I'll probably do it. I'm going to be there for 10 days. It seems to me impossible not to.
Same language. Same love language of food in Paris. We did not go. I regretted it. I'm an American. I'm a fatty. Are you going to go to McDonald's in Paris?
I'm out of McDonald's. I barely go to McDonald's here, maybe once every 3 months or so. So there's no way, DK. There's so many places out there. If I can get some quick food that's French over McDonald's, that's what I'm going to do. I'm out on McDonald's in Paris.
Oh, boy. We're going to get no content from this trip. We're going to come back with one picture from the Eiffel Tower and a couple ham and cheese. God, those are damn good. Add that to your list, Rip. What do you call those? The Montclairs? How do you say it?
Eclairs?
Madame Claire's, Madame Bruges. God,
I don't know. I'm going in knowing zero French, so that could be an issue. I'll tell you how that works out after. But yeah, if anyone has any tips on France, on Paris, on the countryside for me, send them in. Send them my way, because I know nothing about
France.
They're
coming your way. One last one. I need you to get on tape. I need you to go ahead and sit down in a beautiful French restaurant, have some wine, and smoke a cigarette, Rip. Can we get you to smoke a cig? One grit.
Absolutely not. That's been probably 30 years since I smoked a cigarette, 25, 30 years. I'm not a fan. I can't stand the smell. I don't like the heat. I'm out. I'm out on cigarettes, man. When in Rome, but not when in France. I'm out on that.
Worst Rips Reacts ever. Get to the concert at least. Have a spritz. Get a croissant. We'll see you next week, listeners. One love.
Cyclone Nation. See you next week.